This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
So, Herman, we're here at the Austrian Cultural Forum. The Austrian Cultural Forum is, in fact, an arm of the Ministry of Foreign Services. In a way, you've been symbolically accepted by the state. And when I look at your early work, the last thing that I seem to take from it, what it doesn't seem to be about is accepting the state, you know, allowing the state to embrace you. The state, in fact, in your early work, persecuted you. Do you feel ambivalent about the state having so welcomed and embraced you today? Or does it seem long overdue?
I think it's a very normal way. Mm-hmm. When an artist do new things, he had problems with everything, mm-hmm. and also with government, also with the state. I would not say that the times are changing. Mm-hmm. They're always the same. Mm-hmm. And if somebody does new things, he had problems. If he had success, everybody follows him, and also at last the government or the state.
So you wouldn't say that your relationship to the state has changed?
My relationship to the state has never changed. There was the Second World War. Mm-hmm. I was a child of 5-6 years. And in the school, I had to greet like this. Mm-hmm. Then coming the Russians, Americans, the English, the French people. And then I listened radio. And there I heard the Russians say the Americans, that's bad capitalists, that everything is wrong. The Americans said there's communism, there's no freedom, everything is wrong, before I was Hitler. And when I was a child, I saw politics is not the right way. Really, I started to interest myself in philosophy. Well, that it is. The world is not changing. Situations are changing, but they repeat themselves. It's always the same.
I want to go back to Vienna in the early years of your practice as an artist. What was it about the National Theater? What was it about the Burg Theater that was so problematic for you, as opposed to today, where you've now done something?
I created very, very early my theater, my new kind of theater, mm-hmm. in connection with American happenings or Gozai Group, and then we developed our own group. I was against this old kind of theater. And this theater was very conservative. I remember I wanted to let in the Burg Theater live bigs. Protested against the Burg Theater, not against the institution. Mm-hmm. I protested because they didn't play well. They had a wrong idea from theater, and I was very, very involved in the Greek theater, the Greek tragedy. And King Oedipus from Sophocles, I read it in the little book in a Requiem Heftel. We covered this was it. A little booklet. I was shocked in a positive way. And there was nobody were able to show this at the theater. And then there was the meaning, I have to build up a theater where you really can feel what is going on. And so, and 3 years ago, they invited me to make a big performance or a play for my theater. I shall show the Orchis Mysterious Theater at the Burgtheater. And you know, the Burgtheater is the most important theater of German language. And I do a theater without words. And I said, why? It shall not be possible that in this theater also we show a theater without words, an action theater. And I did it.
But I want to go back to this issue, and I want to kind of focus on it quite clearly. In the work that we just viewed of yours, in the film, there's an intensity of sound, there's an immediacy of sound, there's piercing sound, there's continuous kind of decibels, levels. But the one thing that's conspicuously lacking, the one thing that's completely absent, is spoken word, is written text. Right? Can you say why this is?
That I would say that's also a part of the revolution of my work. I also, after this world war, the word was not enough strong. I want that the audience feel directly all their senses. And so I stopped to use words, and I did normal performances which everybody can feel with the senses.
But isn't this quite a political gesture? Don't you see this as a political practice in a way
I would say, I told you before, I'm not interested to use the word politic. And I know what so many people think in a positive way, positive way of it, but I want more intensity, more intensity, and that's for me more a way of philosophy than a way of politics.
I think you don't always like to be placed in a tradition so specifically. But when I think of the Austrian kind of tradition when it comes to the literary text, when I think of, say, Wittgenstein, when I think of Karl Kraus, the Vienna Circle, Thomas Bernhardt, there's this tradition of questioning language.
Yeah, they had all these problems.
Yeah.
And there's
you don't see yourself as part of this.
Hofmannsthal, there's this famous letter where he wrote that he cannot work anymore with words. And That was my generation. I had to stop with words. And indirectly I use words because when I was writing my scores and everything. But nobody speaks at the stage. There's no a man who say we must make war. And so this is, don't exist in my theater.
So right behind us, actually, we're seeing some of the scores of Hermann Nietzsche's works, of his actions. And what I was hoping is they've just kind of miraculously shown up when I was going to ask this question. Could you explain how they actually work, how they function, how we're supposed to read these, how one performs this? Because if I understand them correctly, what's being denoted is intensity, not traditional notation.
Maybe it's running in the same way. I was as a... Anyway, I'm a great admirer of music of all times, and I like classic music. I like Wagner, I like Scriabin, I like Bach, I like Eastern music, and I liked when I was young very much the Viennese, the second Viennese school, Schoenberg, Berg, Webern. This was very, very important for me. But I saw this was not the right way for me. Did it enough. I would say in the last century, there was a little heavy dialect in the music. Everybody repeats Schoenberg and Webern. Everybody. And I saw, I must stop this. Also, my theater needed other music, lyrical music. I went back to the scream, to noise, and then the aleatoric was very, very important for me. One man who spoke so much about Pollock, and there's again, I'm not, because I'm here in America, I say good about the new American culture, but there was one man who in my music me also very influenced, and it was John Cage. I was not so influenced about the sound of his music. I was influenced by his theory that he used so much accident and the aleatoric. This was very important for me. For me, it's not important if I compose tonal or atonal. I want to hear a group of sounds and walls of sounds. And it must be very, very intensive, and it must be in connection with my performances. And I say always, my music, shall make my performances more intensive, and my performances shall make my music more intensive. It was also a new situation.
So to be very precise, how do you read that?
Is
there
anyway,
a secret?
There we have millimeter paper, and mostly I have in my early works I had all kind of sounds, but later I used long sounds. And on my score you see lines, and you see how long the sounds. Then we have six different noise steps, 1 till 6, sometimes also 7, when it must be very, very loud. And you can see there are numbers on it when it shall be silent and when it shall be very loud. And there's one thing, the harmonies are free. The conductor can work with the orchestra in a very free way. So there are no harmonies. There's not a problem if it is tonal or not tonal. And there's this expression, noise music. I'm not the meaning my music is noise, but it has a lot to do with noise.
But it's not just about noise, it's about, as you said, the scream. Why does all music begin with a scream for you?
I would say it's a problem of emotion. I'm a dramatist. I'm working for theater. Mm-hmm. And in theater, the emotion is very, very important. And there you use sounds before the language is coming. The sound of death, the sound of sex, and to scream and to... that was very important for my theater, and is very important for my theater, and for my music.
But as Adrian Daub argues in the book, this piece we've been talking about...
Is he here?
Adrian is here somewhere. Where is Adrian? He's right there in the second row. I mean, Adrian reminds us that for you, music is aligned with abreaction. It's aligned with a sacrificial...
In my early theories, it was very important. I worked in connection to depth psychology. Anyway, I think it's very important that all our repressed energies, that they especially coming out in theater.
So theater is therapeutic in a way. Your art.
It's a therapy, and I'm the meaning. All kind of art has to do with therapy. If you look at the pictures of Rembrandt, or if you hear Bach, art has a lot to do with therapy.
I want to kind of shift tact. I want to look at The Fall of Jerusalem, this work that you did in 1971, this plan, let's say. One of the things that's amazing about The Fall of Jerusalem is that it's, in a way, a text of numbers. And so what I thought I'd do is just read one sentence from this to give you a sense of what I mean when I say that Hermann has this excessive love of numbers, something that he earlier today aligned with Kurt Schwitters, for instance. So in The Fall of Jerusalem, his score calls for the noise of the following animals: 3,200 pigs, 190 horses, 1,200 cows, 1,800 sheep, 2,100 goats, 260 dogs, 530 chicken, 300 geese, 250 ducks. And then there's a Kinsky speech in room 480, which calls for well over, I don't actually know how to pronounce this number, about 3,967 gazillion monstrances. Can you speak to the scale of the numbers? I know that you don't believe in humor, so you're being serious, evidently, here.
When I look at the sky, and I see many, many stars, I'm happy because I have a feeling of eternity. And there's nothing to do with symbolic, how I use... numbers. Here, maybe 100 people, outside thousands. I like to use numbers, but how the creation like to use numbers that I'm doing.
So in the later work, I'm going to avoid responding to you here. When I saw this new museum devoted to your work this summer, something that was quite clear was that in the last few years you've shifted, and there's a color change in your canvases, in your paintings, and this kind of more traditional, let's say, black or dark red color that we associate with blood has now turned into maybe primary color.
Listen, when I was young, I hated all the artists with beards. I say, why? It's not necessary. Is it necessary that everybody see he's an artist? I think you see it at his works, if he's an artist or not. Anyway, and then I said, when I'm getting old, I will have a beard. Like the musicians in the 19th century, they mostly have a beard, and like Brahms. And then it was the second time when I was invited to Commander. After they invited me Rudi Fuchs, and I had a great success. And then I stopped to shave myself. And it was a good experiment. I was happy the beard was immer größer geworden.
It became longer and longer.
It became longer and longer, and it's really working, and now I have it. And the funny thing, sometimes, very often, I'm dreaming, it's a castration dream. Somebody shaved me the beard. And then I was thinking, 1 year I need to get it new, to get a new beard. So, and the same was with my paintings. What I really did with my paintings, I used not so much the color, I use the substance, the material from the, and so I poured and I, anyway, for me it was important to use the substance. Also when I have performances with intestines and with meat, it's very important to, that the audience shall use their senses when they look at my performances. Well, that was, so I would say, 30 years I painted only with paint, with the substance of paint. And there was only mostly one color, mostly red. Red is not, I would say, I cannot say it if it's the most beautiful color, but it is the most intensive color. And it's the color of life and death. And then I'm a great admirer of the Impressionists and of all the painters of Artisia, and which used the sounds of color. And when I'm getting older, I have the feeling, now I'm able to use the substance from the color and also, let's say, the valeurs of the sound. And that's the reason why I, let's say, again, the last 30 years, again use colors, also now black, yellow, all the colors of the rainbow. From the rainbow. That it is. The beard and also, I shall always show only tragic things. I want to show also the resurrection and the joy of life. And now I'm getting older and older, and I have no more difficulties to show sometimes also beautiful things. But beautiful is everything, also the tragic situations.
So two last quick questions before we open it up.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the 70s when you received a number of invitations to come to America? I ask this because I guess when we presented this exhibition that Oswaldo curated in Philadelphia, what struck us was that American audience didn't know what to do with your work.
It was very difficult in Austria. And then they took me, I told it before, they took me three times in prison. And then I got vielleicht können Sie mir das auch geben, eine Gerichtsstrafe. Ja, und I had to go a half year into prison.
Prison.
Ja, prison. Und the audience understood it, what I said. No? Not on.
You had to go 6 months to prison.
Yeah. And that was the end for me. And I left Austria. I went to Germany. And then it's a funny thing. A very good friend of mine, Peter Kubicki, the famous filmmaker, he was here and had great success. He was and he is a very good friend of Jonas Makers. And Jonas Makers invited me to come to the States. It was just in a moment where I was on the end. Then they paid me the trip in the hotel. I lived in a hotel Chelsea. It was 68. There I did my performances at first in the old Cinematheque in the Booster Street, then in Cincinnati, and it was a great success. I had a front page in the Village Voice and many reviews. I was dreaming. I had the feeling I'm dreaming. It was the first time that people showed interest to my work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the beginning in America. Mm-hmm.
And then one very quick, very short last question. What's ahead? What's coming up?
So, if you want to hear it, you have to hear it. At first, I painted up my theater in Prinzendorf. It's my Bayreuth. I have the Baroque castle and a wonderful area around, and very important is that it is my own ground and I can do there what I want. I had there a lot of performances, and also I could realize my six-day play. I try to realize more six-day plays. That's the first step of what happened. The next step, that was a great success, and I didn't believe that this is possible. I got a museum close to Prinzendorf. And it was, there's an old factory, and I have enough space to show very, very big works, also my sea and all the photographs and so on. And then come the next step. It was prepared much longer. I will get a museum in Napoli, in Naples. And there's an opening at the 13th of September.
Can we all come?
Yes.
I invite everybody.
Okay.
And I'm sure we have, we have good wine there. I promise it. And well, that's the next project.
Well, we have some wine downstairs for this book launch. But before we do that, we'd like to open it up to any questions that some of you might have. There's a microphone. If you just raise your hand and pose them to Herman, right behind you.
Hello, my name is Manfred. First of all, I want to say it's a pleasure for me to see you here in New York. And I have to admit, in the beginning, I was not very open to your art of kind. So, and the reason maybe it was, I always heard, okay, Nietzsche, it depends on violence. And even today, I heard the same connection between your work and the violence. And after a couple of years, for myself, as my private opinion, I start to realize that maybe your work, for me, the motivation is violence, but the goal is real relief. And this is what I realized, and therefore want to say thank you. And it's a pleasure for me to see you here. That's all.
Thank you. So I must not answer. Thank you very much. That later, not forget to say thank you for the wonderful book. I will please you remember. Then it's possible, why not? So, Peter. Ayo, Toshaya. When I do a big performance, sometimes the rehearsal 4 weeks. We're all together. We are working from 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock. Then there is intermission for food, and then we work till 6 o'clock. And then in the evening we're all together and we're drinking wine and we have a good time. And the next question you will ask, who are my actionists? they are all mostly pupils from students from me. Mostly young people, but I have also a lot of people, they're working 20 years with me. And rehearsals are necessary, and there are a lot of spontaneous situations, but a structure we must work out.
Maybe one last question, if there is one.
Sometimes people from the audience spontaneously participated because there's people that sort of rehearsed and then and how you manage the situation if you didn't have.
My dream is that I rehearsal with all the audience, and then there, some of the audience are in the middle of the performance. They do everything, and then the only people who are looking at it and only eating and drinking. But really, my dream is I work with all the audience, let's say 4 or 3 weeks, and then we will see who is in the performance and who is more out.
Okay, one last question. Yeah.
What is a total work of art for you?
Oh, it's a very difficult question. I don't know. I try to do a very intensive kind of art, and also there's this old dream in the history of art of Gesamtkunstwerk, and I think I'm close to that, to realize it. But the total work of art, what is total? Total is eternity, und was heißt, also, und Unendlichkeit, was heißt das? Eternity and infinity, that's total. And we are living in this space. And as more we are intensive, as more we are total. Okay. And close to total possibility.
So I think this is a great moment to end. I just want to acknowledge once more Susan Gerosi, if you could stand up, Michelle Richmond, and Adrian Daub, 3 contributors to the book that are here with us tonight. On that note, I think we're going to head downstairs. We hope you'll buy books. We hope you'll stick around and have Herman sign copies.
Yeah, I will sign it.
And thanks again for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Wait a moment, 2 minutes. I have to say thank you to him, to the great author, no? of this wonderful book. I'm really very, very happy about it. And I say thank you, thank you, thank you. And this one guy who wrote the article about my music, that's you. I have to thank you very much, and we can, as my manager, sprechen. We reden dann. What do I forget? My wife always says me, whom I forgot, they might forget me. You know? So, as sie meint, vielleicht beim Gastgeber. Gut, dann, aber das ist eigentlich selbstverständlich.
Is it time for some wine?
Ja.
Okay.